Hey, Sammy, you've grown up. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to you all. Nice to have you here. They're still dribbling in a little bit. This 3:30 might be just a hair early, but you know what? This is a lot like Easter for me. I just get so excited I can't hardly stand it. Let's do it, you know. Oh, that reminds me. I told this in church, but for those of you who weren't here that day, a friend of mine's a pastor down in Belle Plaine. Last year for Christmas, he said there was a little 5 or 6 year old there. And they went through the service and sang all the hymns and heard the Christmas story. And as soon as the thing ended, he jumped out in the hall or in the aisle and ran up and said, "Amen, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus is born, let's get going." Evidently, his parents told him that after the service, he could open his presents. That's kind of the way I am with Christmas. This year, this is an Advent wreath. It's been passed down in liturgical churches. For those of you who remember, the first Sunday in Advent, we light the joy candle. The joy is coming into the world. The next week, we light the peace candle. Next week, we light the love candle. And then we light the hope candle. And each week, the light gets lighter and lighter and brighter and brighter, symbolizing the light that is coming into the world. And tonight, we light the Christ candle and the Christ candle. And out of the darkness has come a great light. That's the message. That's the message. And it seems like these days, our world is a little darker because of what had happened in Connecticut 11 days ago. Seems like what happened is what's been happening is a little darker because our congressmen can't work and shake hands across the lines and scaring everybody about this financial cliff, you know. I mean, as if we should be afraid of that because God's going to take care of us. Some of us have had are going to have different Christmases, new kids at the table that have been born, but then those who have passed on, there will be that empty place. When Jesus came into the world, that's kind of the way it was. I mean, there, a little Mary, 9th or 10th grader, travels 120 miles pregnant on some donkey, I suppose, and there's no place. I mean, it's not a very happy time. And yet, the light comes into the world. And the shepherds, the dregs of the world, the worst. I hope anyone here is not a garbage man, but in those days, that was the job of the garbage man, okay? If you couldn't do anything else, you were a shepherd. That's what they said about preachers. If you couldn't do anything else, be a preacher. Anyway, all of a sudden, they're sitting around the campfire, telling stories, and an angel comes, and they fall on their face. And the translation literally in the Bible is that an angel army comes. My professor in seminary says they all were wearing combat boots and they stomped across the heavens. And no wonder these shepherds were lying on their face afraid. And the angel says, "For unto you is born this day, city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." It seems like if there's been any time that we need a Savior, it's today. And so we have a lot to celebrate and a lot to be thankful for. And so it's so nice to have you here. We're going to sing some hymns, say some prayers. During the service, the ushers will be shutting out the lights, and most of you would have been given a candle. If you have a candle, once it's lit, don't bend it over, okay? Leave the candle up, and who's ever lighting it, stick the candle in. You bend it over, Mom's new dress is going to be stained, and we don't want that to happen, all right? So once the candle is lit, keep it held straight, okay? It's nice to have you here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, our Heavenly Father, what a wonderful moment that we can gather some 2,000 years later to remember the birth of your Son, God becoming human, the person of a little baby. We thank you for the tenderness that babies bring. We thank you for the love that exudes around newborns. We pray that our hearts and our lives might come alive again as we remember a baby coming into our lives. Make this special Make this Christmas memorable. Allow us to feel life again and to love each other more and to care for one another. Send your Spirit now, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our opening hymn is, O Come All Ye Faithful. Let's rise and join in singing these verses. Join in the Christmas dialogue. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light.
The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it.
Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us.
For his coming to being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people.
Christ is born, salvation has appeared.
Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
Let's join in the rest of O Come All Ye Faithful. Join together in the Christmas prayer. O loving God, you once caused this holy night to shine with the brightness of the true light. Turn our thoughts toward Bethlehem and the Christ child. May the words of Scripture remind us again that the old story is ever so new. May the carols reveal to us again the wonder and mystery of His birth. May the candles symbolize for us Your Son as the light of the world. Come, Lord Jesus, be born in us today. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises. First lesson tonight, Christmas Eve, comes from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. This was written about 720 B.C. This poem promises deliverance from Assyrian oppression, a hope based on the birth of a royal child with a name full of promise. While Judah's king will practice justice and righteousness, the real basis for faith lies in God's passion for the people. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of God, the word of life. Let's join in singing, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Reading from Titus, the second chapter, Paul writes, For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled, upright, and godly, while we wait for the blessed hope and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. He it is who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. The word of God, the word of life. Let's join in singing, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear.
Christmas story according to St. Luke. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of a great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. The word of God, the word of life. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You're a quiet bunch tonight. Must be contemplative. Maybe it's the mood we've set. Maybe it's the mood of the world. Congregation here, especially the council, has made me learn how to use the computer. So I went on a thing called emailsanta.com. Found out they receive over 1 million emails every year, and each one of these emails is answered. I thought I'd tune in to see some of the things that kids are writing. I just picked out a few of them. "Dear Santa, I'm sorry, but I don't have a chimney. I'll leave the cat flap unlocked for you, but please watch out for the litter box." Signed John, age 4. Mom must have helped him, huh? "Dear Santa, did you really run over my grandma?" "Dear Santa, I'm sorry for putting all that X-lax in your mail last week, or in your milk last year, but I wasn't sure if you were real. My dad was real mad." That was signed Brian, age 7. "Dear Santa, do you know Jesus is the real reason for the season? Not to be mean, but he is." That was by a little 11-year-old girl named Rosanna. I think Rosanna is right. It's become a kind of a phrase, "Jesus is the reason for the season." We all know that. Probably overused. My wife and I like to stop in antique shops and different markets. And last summer we were browsing through a local flea market and came upon a unique Christmas creche. The price was so good, it was only a buck. My wife says, we got to get this. So I went over and asked, "Is that creche really a dollar?" She said, "Yeah, everything's there except for Jesus, a little baby," she said. And I told her, "Well, no wonder the price is low. You know, Christmas creche is worthless without the little figurine of the Christ child." And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that's kind of what we can all be tempted to do, is leave Christ out of Christmas. I mean, he's the centerpiece. He's the most important part of the whole celebration. And some days it seems like even a pastor and family can go through the whole season of Christmas without making Jesus the centerpiece of our lives. And I think that says it all. That's what Crispus is about. That's why we read with such eagerness this wonderful story out of Luke about shepherds living out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night and an angel of the Lord appearing to them. And can you imagine that? Living up here on the lake, sitting out there by yourself on the lake ice fishing, and all of a sudden an angel comes. Woo! Woo! That'd be something. An angel says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of a great joy for all the people today in the city of Isle. A Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah, and this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company, this angel army, stomps across, and I'm sitting out there jigging for those big walleyes. Whoops, you only can catch them. Under 18, is it? Oh! Don't tell them. They tasted good. Whoops! Whoops! Yeah, Jesus came to give us freedom, right? Anyway, let's get back to the story, shall we? So all these, this angels sing, or they say, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth." What a wonderful message, peace. And so they hurry off and find Joseph and Mary and the baby in the manger wrapped in cloths. Oh, here's our Christmas songs. Let's just take a moment and listen to the Christmas songs, okay? We've got plenty of time. I'll cut the sermon short. And we'll get home to have meal. But let's just listen. We haven't had these bells for a while. That tune was. Anybody know? So these shepherds wander off and hurry off and find Mary and Joseph, and they were amazed, and the parents are amazed, and Mary treasures all these things in her hearts. The babe, the son of Mary. What child is this? Say a prayer while you're listening to this. Think of someone in your life who needs prayers. I think that's it. If you're out on the lake, it's wonderful here. You know it's 4 o'clock, okay? Fish are going to start biting as soon as you say your prayer. Someone has called this story that we just read out of Luke the greatest story that's ever been told, and I think it is. Christmas really began in the heart of God, our Creator. That's what I see in this story. Love came down at Christmas, writes the poet. And I think it's true. God's love came down in a manger at Bethlehem some 2,000 years ago. God's love and God's heart came to us. And that's why we gather in church on a Monday afternoon in 2012. Huh? Several years ago in California, there was some floods going on. A woman took a family that had been evacuated by their floods into her home. She had already had 6 children that she was raising. She lived in a small house, and she still took this evacuated family in. Friend asked her why she took that responsibility upon herself to invite this strange family in when they were already cramped. And this woman explained that at the end of World War II, a family in her hometown in Germany was destitute because of the war. And on Christmas Eve, the mother of this family told her children that they had no money for gifts. She said, "We're not able to have much for Christmas, so I have just one present for us all. She'll go get it." So she went out and returned with a little orphan girl and said, "This is your present." And this generous California mother went on to tell how the children in her family, in this family, welcomed this child and supported this child and loved this child as a sister, as a full member of the family. And then she added, "I was that Christmas gift." She gave to this family of evacuees once something she had been given. The Bible says we love because Christ first loved us. Christmas is about the heart of God. Christmas is about hope. It's no accident that Christmas comes in the darkest time of the year. We don't know the exact date when Jesus was born. So when the date was set for Christmas, it was to symbolize these words that we read of Isaiah, that the people who sat in the darkness have seen a great light. Christmas represents hope. There's no fear with hope. There's no finer symbol of hope than the birth of a child. I think it was Carl Sandburg who said, a baby is God's opinion that life should go on. So Christmas is about hope. Christmas is about love. From the very beginning, it's been about love. God saw his children's plight in the world. God crawled into the playpen of our existence. He became human so he would know what you go through and what I go through. That's what the spirit of Christmas is about. It's the spirit of love, God becoming human. Every once in a while we hear about someone who's been touched by the spirit of Christmas, and it renews our hope. Heard the story last week about an old man in a small town. Could have been here in Malmo or Glen or one of these small towns around here. He was an ill-tempered recluse who avoided his neighbors at all costs. Most people give up on these folks and they leave them to their self-imposed loneliness. But every once in a while, love steps in and turns the situation upside down. So one Thanksgiving season, a church group in this small town decided to do a good deed for this cranky, unfriendly old man. The old man had been injured in a farming accident the summer before. He heated his house by firewood, and they saw that he didn't have his crates full anymore. They knew he was facing a harsh winter with dwindling supply of firewood, and so the teens in this youth group thought they would get together, cut up this firewood, which they did, put it in their trucks, and at night they backed up and loaded his wood boxes full of firewood, and just as they were finishing the last few pieces of wood in the wood bin, the old man suddenly jerked open the door and had a shotgun in his hand. The youth leader hollers out, "Don't shoot, don't shoot, we just came to help you with the wood." And the old man, looking at these overflowing wood bins, hollered back, "I don't need any help, get out of here." And later the teens, when they processed this whole situation, they discussed their act of kindness gone wrong, and they pretty much asked, why would God ask them to do good works for those who don't appreciate it? That's a great question. Why? Why would we do that? A few weeks later, at the Christmas Eve service, the whole congregation noticed that the cranky old man came in and sat down amongst them. And then during the prayer time, the pastor asked if anyone had anything they'd like to share of Thanksgiving. And the old man stood up and said, a little over a month ago, I ran a group of kids off my property. And his voice faded, and the eyes of that old man overflowed with tears. You see, the love of Jesus had broken through this old man's defenses. That's what Christmas is about. That's what Christmas love is all about. We all know it's true. From the heart of the Creator, straight into your lives, straight into my life. It's all wrapped up in a tiny baby, surrounded by his mother Mary and his father Joseph, and the cattle and the sheep and the shepherds, and later the wise men, and the star that lingers above that scene. Huh? Angels sing in the heavens, and for one glorious night, we see a glimpse of why this world was created. It was created for love. That's why you're here, for love. We live in a God-invaded world because we could not go to Him. He came to us. And because God came to us, everything has changed the way we look and respond and act in this world. I had an opportunity to study in Israel. And while I was there, part of our studies took us down to the Church of the Holy Nativity in Bethlehem. And there's a great big wall, and there's a great big door, and then there's a little door carved into the big door. And in order to get in, you have to bow down and walk in. And I thought that's pretty interesting that everybody has to bow down before you go in. Then you walk to the end of this great big sanctuary, and you go into a dark little corner behind the altar, and you wander a stairway that's pretty tight, and you go down into a room that's about 14 yards long and 4 yards wide, and there's a golden star in the floor, and it said that here Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. People say their prayers, and then they leave a different way so others can move in. A couple of our Bible studies are studying a commentary by William Barclay. This is what he says about that. When the Lord of glory came to this earth, he was born in a cave where men sheltered their beasts. The cave in the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem may be that same cave, or it may not be. That will never be known for certain. But there's something beautiful in the symbolism that the church where the cave is has a door so low that all must stoop to enter. It is supremely fitting that every man should approach the infant Jesus upon his knees. This is not a night for pretentiousness. It's not a night for congratulating ourselves on how successful you and I have become. Or not a night for celebrating how many beautiful presents we will give or how many presents we'll receive. This is a night for bowing in humility before the cradle of the one who gave up everything on our behalf. That's what this night is about. It's a night that's about receiving his peace and receiving his love. Christ emptied himself completely when he came into our world. Some of you I know are in pain tonight. Know that as you bow down before the manger that God's love is with you. One last story. I've got 182 stations on my machine. And every year I like to check on Charlie Brown's Christmas. This year I noticed something different. Charlie Brown directs a Christmas play and hunts for the perfect tree, and you get the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, which I know that you probably have picked out before you got that paid for one, huh? Anyway, Charlie Brown directs this Christmas pageant, and when the special was first shown, Linus is supposed to expound on the true meaning of Christmas. And when the special was first shown, the folks at CBS didn't really want to use the actual Christmas story and broadcast it across the nation. They thought it would be offensive to everybody and pushing their religion about everybody. Imagine that religion intruding upon a Christmas special. But But Charles Schulz, the creator of the story, was insistent that this has to be told. And so Linus recites from the book of Luke the same story that I just read. But I noticed something different. When he took the book, he dropped his security blanket and left the security blanket alone and wrapped himself up in the story. He dropped his security blanket to tell the story of Jesus' birth. And I thought, you know, why shouldn't he? Because it's in that story, it's in God becoming human that we find our security. He is our peace. He is our hope. He is our joy. He brings us love. God has come into the world in the baby of Bethlehem. And so why shouldn't we sing for joy on this night of nights? Because something very special happened in our world 2,000 years ago. A baby was born to a humble couple, a baby who makes it possible for us to know and to love God. Doesn't get any better than that, really. Doesn't get any better than that. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, please. Amen. Let's join in singing Angels We Have Heard on High. We'll invite the ushers to receive our offering.
Thank you.
join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's join in silent night. During that song, I saw a great light. Everybody, blow them out and let there be light. Please rise and receive the blessing. The Word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Let Christ's light shine in the darkest corner of your life. Let Christ's love shine in the darkest corners of our world. God is with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's close with joy to the Word.